Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good.
So to start off with, why do you think the issue of body image has constantly been so prevalent in society?
Yeah, well, the ideas of what a body shape should look like, or what's normal, or what's attractive, I suppose, is something that's been very relevant to humans since the dawn of time, and indeed other animals as well. The idea of attractiveness, scientists think, is somewhat to do with attempting to find a mate who will be healthy and will be able to raise offspring and be able to support them. And so lots of things like health and fertility and things like that seem to be relevant. But in the last few decades in certainly human society, it seems to have gone a little bit haywire. And we're now starting to regard things as body shapes as attractive, even though they're actually really quite unhealthy.
So you've discussed the thin is beautiful message spread around in the 1980s, and it's continued in through till today. How has this affected the way our brains perceive the normal body shape?
Well, arguably it started actually considerably earlier than that. I mean, as early as the 60s, there's very clear evidence of advertisements concentrating on, you know, gaining a slim figure, and also social pressure from people's families. But I think the media really kicked in in the 60s, 70s even, and since then. And the problem is that if we're bombarded constantly with images of a certain size and shape, it does affect the way that we see things that we look at next, you know, the things that you're subsequently exposed to. And so what's considered normal actually changes as a result of what we've been exposed to.
So you've recently done a study where you've said that people's perception of their own and others' body image could change in just as little as 2 minutes. What did this study actually involve?
Yeah, so this was a study we did quite recently. What it involved was getting a lot of participants into the laboratory, mostly female undergraduates, because that's the population that we have easiest access to. Although we don't doubt that it would generalize to other populations as well. We invited them into the laboratory and we took photos of them in a controlled lighting situation with particular standardized clothing. And then we manipulated the sizes of those photos. So we created very large ones where it looked like someone had gained considerable weight, and then very, very skinny looking ones as well. And then afterwards we showed people images of either themselves or another person, and asked them what they considered to be normal, you know, what they thought their actual size really was. And we did that before we started the kind of exposure phase of the experiment. The exposure phase of the experiment involved us kind of showing them very much enlarged or very much shrunken, you know, images that were made to look very skinny. We either exposed them to skinny images or fat images, effectively, for a period of 2 minutes, and then asked them again what they thought a normal size was or what they thought their own actual size was. And we noticed very distinct changes after that kind of exposure in only 2 minutes.
So how would retuning the brain in this way alter the way that we actually see our own bodies?
Yeah, well, I think retuning is exactly the right word for it. What we're doing is we're actually changing the connections and the activity of the nerve cells in the visual areas of our brain. And so they're starting to actually, the changes in activity correspond to changes in what you perceive as being normal. So it actually provides a kind of a slimming effect or a fattening effect, depending on what stimuli you've just looked at. And what's interesting to us, at least, is although body image is an extraordinarily complex kind of construct, and it's related to all kinds of other things like body dissatisfaction and eating disorders and things like that. They're extremely complex, but we think that there's a significant component of those conditions which is purely visual. In other words, it affects the perceptual areas of your brain, and it doesn't really rely on any kind of evaluation of, you know, glamour or attractiveness or any of those kinds of things. We don't need to associate it with anything desirable. Just simply seeing the images is enough to change your perception.
So you were mentioning there people who do suffer from disorders or mental illnesses and the way that they see their own body image. How
yeah.
is there a way that we could use this study to help these people?
Well, we hope so. I mean, this is the first in kind of a long line of studies that we've got planned. We've conducted a couple so far, and this is really one of the first kind of actual scientific paper to come out. We're planning several more, and we hope to understand this very much better. And if we can understand the brain mechanisms, then that does kind of pave the way for kind of potential therapies and similar things. But on the face of it, from what we know already, we can already start to think about the way that we treat people with, for example, anorexia nervosa. What we do at the moment is we tend to, or at least in extreme cases, we tend to gather them in kind of specialist treatment facilities where they live with other people who are suffering from the same illness. And what will be happening there is that the people who are the patients will effectively be seeing really very skinny people all day, every day. And this might actually exacerbate their condition. And I think we need to think quite carefully about whether or not this is the way that we should be treating people with eating disorders.
Well, Kevin, it's been really brilliant having you on. Thanks so much for joining us on The Daily.
Absolutely my pleasure.